Okay. So changing tack entirely and moving to one of our new standards. Just changing the staff here. So we're moving on to agenda paper 3. And I'm handing over to Craig.
Good afternoon, committee members. Agenda paper 3 analyses the comments on the committee's tentative agenda decision published in September about the assessment of promised goods or services in the contract. The committee received 9 comment letters, which are reproduced in Appendix B to this paper. 3 respondents agreed with the committee's decision not to add this matter to its standard setting agenda for the reasons outlined in the tentative agenda decision. The other 6 respondents commented on the committee's technical analysis. The respondents' comments, together with our analysis and recommendation, are discussed in paragraphs 12 to 52 of our paper. We were made aware of 1 additional comment letter from the Accounting Standards Committee of Germany after posting our paper, and this is agenda paper 3A for the meeting. We have reviewed this comment letter, and in our view, the comments in the letter have also been raised by other respondents. Accordingly, we think our analysis in the paper addresses the comments in the ASCG's letter. Based on our analysis, we recommend finalising the agenda decision with some minor changes as noted in Appendix A. I will now ask whether you agree with our recommendation to finalise the agenda decision set out in Appendix A to the paper.
Okay. Who wants to talk about IFRS 15? I'm looking at Tony. Tony?
Can I go first? Why don't I go first? I support the staff's recommendation to finalise the agenda decision as drafted. I continue to believe that nothing is transferred to the customer as a result of an entity either setting up to deliver a service or deciding whether it is prepared to accept the customer. And so I agree with the staff's analysis, and I have no further comments on the agenda decision.
Thanks, Tony. Andrew?
Thank you. I agree with the discussion in the paper. And in fact, when I got to the comment letters, I thought that a number of the points made in the comment letters were quite supportive of the staff analysis. And so I thought that was quite helpful because it kept me going back to the paper and the agenda decision and saying, is the right answer here? So I agree with Tony on the question of setup and deciding whether you're going to accept a customer. There was just 1 small point in the agenda paper made me pause, which is where there was some discussion of a withdrawn or failed listing when someone's paid a non-refundable upfront fee. And I just wondered whether that really would give revenue for the listing authority, because if you say that nothing has been transferred, then there's been no transfer of a good or service, and that then seems to take you out of the overall objective of IFRS 15 to have revenue depicting the transfer of goods or services. So there was a little bit of conflict there. On the question of the discussion of specific fact patterns, which we talked about and was raised in one of the comment letters, I remain quite happy to have a specific fact pattern. I would observe, though, that with this one, the agenda decision is likely to have quite wide applicability because of the very wide range of arrangements that are out there with upfront fees, some refundable, some not. The one point I wondered a little bit about was a point of whether there's 1 or more legal contracts. Because in my view, if I look at this fact pattern, it wouldn't matter to me whether there were 1, 2, or 3 different contracts legally, because for an IFRS 15 purposes, there's just 1. And so I wondered whether there was any potential for us to note somewhere that in the circumstances of this fact pattern, it wouldn't matter whether we had one or two legal contracts, because for accounting purposes there is 1 contract. That was the only substantive amendment.
Thanks, Andrew. Okay, I've seen Bob and Martin's hands go up. So, Bob?
Yeah. Thank you, Sue. I like to have a non-agenda decision. I'm not that lucky with that non-agenda decision for specifically for 2 points. First of all, I'm not that sure with regard to the stock exchange, whether this is the one and only stock exchange or whether the customer could make use of any work of that to get a listing somewhere. So because I assume that predominant work is the pre-work before the listing, so to say. So the ongoing listing is of minor cost. So the question is, so to say, can some of that work be recycled for another stock exchange? And there might be jurisdictions where you have several stock exchanges and you could probably make use of that. So for me, this is a little bit unclear. I know it's all about facts and circumstances, but probably then we could narrow facts and circumstances a little bit to make that clear. The other point is that from a very pragmatic perspective, I would have expected then him saying, okay, it should be recognition over time or recognition at a point in time or so. This is absolutely open, but this could also be interpreted as a kind of style. So if you want to have a very clear picture on it, I guess we should add that what we mean.
Thank you.
Paul? I'm also supportive of the staff's analysis and finalizing this agenda decision. I would like to make one suggestion to the agenda decision, though. What I'm hearing from some is a bit of confusion on whether they're in the scope in the case where they can reject the customer. That is, the customer applies and then they make a decision. We see this not only in stock exchanges, but colleges, membership. And the confusion comes around because when we refer to E49 talks about setup fees and joining fees and in the situation, the example are situations where it's clear that the future service will be delivered, whereas some will argue that because they may not deliver something in the future because they may not accept the customer, they've got a different situation. I don't think they do. I still think in that situation that the admission process accepting the customer does not transfer a good or service. And then in the area where it's italicizing.
Sorry, Bob, you're cutting out. Bob, can you go back to the bit about italicizing?
In that section where we italicize that's the facts, that we add a fact in there that in the admission process, the accept for the customer.
Sorry, so you're cutting out. So I think you're suggesting that on page 17, for example, in the what is now the second bullet point, that we'd say something like reviewing the customer's listing application and something about including making an assessment or something like that? Is that what you're suggesting, something along those lines? I can't hear you.
Yes, it's evaluating whether the customer meets the specified criteria for admission.
Okay.
So evaluating whether to accept the,
yep.
Customer,
yep. Okay.
The
All right.
customer's application.
All right, thank you, Bob. All right, Guy?
I'm in favor of finalizing the agenda decision. Concern, though, that I thought is worth considering. The concern relates to tinkering with the list of facts in the final agenda decision and whether that could have some unintended consequences. In particular, we deleted from the list of facts on page 17 of the paper certain items. For example, the the fifth item that is struck through altogether. You know, arguably the rest of the changes are more wording in nature, but we've actually deleted one particular fact altogether. And I was wondering if that might suggest to some that, well, if there are the presence of other specific facts, such as that one in the fifth bullet that has been struck through, would that you know, arm someone with a perspective that, you know, there are other activities going on at the outset of this arrangement that weren't in scope of the fact pattern addressed by the staff, and so we think those other activities do transfer a service to the customer, and I could come up with a different thought process. My simple suggestion is, in the lead in to that list of facts, at the end where we say including, perhaps we go on to say including but not limited to, and then list the summary of facts that are there. So they're not necessarily all included.
Sorry, I have no signal from the meeting, and I got kicked out. I don't know what's happening at your end, so I'm trying to reconnect.
Can you hear me now, Jim? Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. So, Guy, I'm trying to see you on the screen now.
Yeah.
So, Guy, if I understand correctly, what you're suggesting with your amendment is that, hi, Jim, is that by saying including but not limited to at the beginning of that list would be encouraging people to think about what the nature of the list is rather than saying look for these specific things, and if there's anything additional, then you're automatically out. We'd be trying to encourage it to be more of a sort of an example in a sense, which sounds like might be a good idea.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, did you want to comment?
I'm fine. I agree with the staff analysis. The video conference is kicking out, so I'm back.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Sorry about that. Reinhardt?
I'm likewise fine with finalizing the agenda decision. I would support an addition such as Guy suggested, because as he indicated, I likewise had a concern that people might look at these specific facts and say, if I don't need exactly these facts, then I'm not in the scope, as opposed to if we add those words, you know, including activities such as the following or something along those lines, it would, I think, help cause people to think about their fact pattern and to assess whether, in fact, they are actually there's a separate performance obligation. So I would be supportive of adding those words.
Okay, thank you, Reinhardt. Did anybody else want to come in? Bertrand?
Yeah, I'm fine with the tentative agenda decision. I understand the concerns raised by some relating to having a list of activities, but then the previous word is including. So I would suppose it is just examples. So maybe we could strengthen still having the list, because it's it is providing an illustration. So it's interesting, and maybe rather than use the word including, having something such as, or for example, or whatever, just to strengthen the fact that it's not an exclusive list, obviously. And I was, contrary to one comment that was made previously, I was happy with quoting paragraph B49 in the agenda decision, because I think effectively this paragraph is a bit broader in application than just an admission fee to a health club or whatever. So I'm fine with having in the agenda decision a reference to B49.
Okay, thank you, Bertrand. Okay, so with that, Henry, can I ask you a question? Did you have any reaction to Andrew's suggestion about the number of contracts?
I was just going to say that I think, Andrew, you picked it up because it was a comment that was raised in one of the comment letters by the ASBJ. And so actually we do have a discussion about it on page 14 of the paper. And so I think, Andrew, in the paper, we're agreeing with what you said, that this is about the facts, in a sense, not about the number of contracts. The only thing I'd say is that I'd be inclined, as we say in the paper, not necessarily to add anything at this stage on that within the agenda decision, because I just think it might overcomplicate the agenda decision. And hopefully by not talking about the number of contracts, we're still making it clear in the agenda decision this is in fact not about the number of contracts, it's about the facts. Yes. So I think we agree, but we are inclined not to do anything in the agenda decision.
And that was my thinking too, on the basis of saying that's just an overriding requirement to consider whether or not you need to put contracts together in IFRS 15.
My only concern was that there might be those who felt if they structured the contracts differently, they might get a different answer. And so it was really to head that one off. I think the reference to B49 helps because it talks about the transfer of goods and services. And therefore, if you've not transferred anything, then it gives a pretty strong hook. So I don't feel that strongly about it.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting point. Okay, so with that, I'm going to ask the committee if we could please vote on the proposed wording in the agenda decision as attached in the appendix with two amendments based on the discussion that we've had. So one amendment would be based on the point that Guy raised and then others commented on, which would be perhaps replacing the word including, which is in italics at the start of the list on page 17, with the words such as, to make it more clear that it's not a closed set. And then the other suggestion would be to modify the wording that we have in the list of italics on the second bullet point on page 17 to pick up the point that Bob raised about the fact that, and Henry, you had some good words.
Well, I think the idea is just to capture the notion that the application could be turned down, so it's to capture it's sort of performing these assessment processes, including assessing whether or not to take on that particular issue.
So maybe I'd suggest we're not going to take away the words that are there, but we might add in brackets something that just says including evaluating whether to accept the customer's application.
So with those two proposed amendments, could I please get a show of hands from the committee on whether you agree with the finalising this agenda decision?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12, 13,
and
I think everybody.
And Mikhail?
That's support.
Okay, thank you. 13. So 13. Thank you.